mathematic thing for me. Is it recording?
We are recording now. Yay.
And I am here with just curiosity. I'm in a coaching program that, like you, bases it on your mindset before you work on your business. And so I'm just curious to see what I can add to this. You know, I've had a business for 10 years and it's kind of had a, been on the lay low for the last few years. And now I'm creating space for my ideal clients to show up.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here. And also thank you for telling us about the recording. So I may go backwards to go forward just to reintroduce people to the agenda. Thank you so much. All right, Amy.
Hey there. So what I'm hoping to get from this course is a little bit more clarity and redefining my mission and purpose to identify something that truly inspires me to just jump out of bed in the morning. The other thing that I definitely know I need to work on is learning how to stay present and improve my listening skills. I've come far in a short period of time, but there's still some ways to go. And then the other thing is just really learning how to release any limiting beliefs that are holding me back from being my best self and leading my own business.
Wow. I think we're going to be able to cover a lot of that. Redefining your mission is super important. That is really part of the heart focus part of what I'll be training on you all on today. Listening skills, that takes practice. And the next workshop, we'll be talking about that because it's super important. And limiting beliefs, yeah, we all got them. And we'll be addressing that next week too. So thank you for sharing. At least out of workshop one, we'll get one of your three done.
Awesome.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to mute you. Thank you. Michelle, what can we do for you today?
Oh, I'm here just to reground and refocus on the passion part. I've had my own private business, not in the healthcare world before. I do work now. I have some passion for the, I have passion for the type of work I do, but I want to reground on the passion in general. So I'm here to listen, explore, and learn.
All right. I love that. You got one of my key words in there, play, explore, and discover. So yeah, you're in the right place as well. So far, everybody's in the right place. Nobody needs to be in another class. Angelica, hey there.
Hi. Hey. Okay. So I am kind of like in Valerie's boat, Valerie Donovan. I have a business, but I haven't really acknowledged it. I lately started acknowledging it by making a website. But what I'd really like to achieve in this course is to actually have the confidence to proclaim what it is I do to the world and how to say it. Because I'm in both practitioner programs, the transpersonal energy healing and NEPT, and I'd like to figure out how to merge them and to be able to concisely explain that and convey that to the world.
Absolutely. We can certainly give you a good jump start here. You're in the right place as well. Okay. And I don't want to forget anybody. Oh, Valerie, I know you're our guest speaker, but tell us a little bit about you and without telling your story yet and what you hope to share with this group. Uh-oh. I'm going to unmute you. There we go.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Perfect. Okay. Without going into my story, I am probably the living embodiment of what you're talking about in terms of going from having a line of work that had no passion for me, where I woke up every day dreading going, where I literally said to myself, oh, not today, to seemingly what felt like overnight, going to something that I love to do every day, and it was literally not something I could have orchestrated on my own.
Got chills. I can't wait for your share. Thank you. All right. And last but not least, did I catch all the coaches? Who else is here? Is Dr. Rita Marie here? Okay. I'm going to leave her in the dark for now. Kimberly.
Well, I'm just so excited to be part of this and to get to learn from Tony and also share a little bit of my knowledge. One of my big passions, one of the reasons I love to get up out of bed every day is to share my knowledge and experience and teach and train. So getting the opportunity to do that a little bit today is really thrilling for me. And working with all of you, I know all of you or have seen all of you, except for Valerie. Cindy, I've seen you on some of the calls lately. Welcome to our tribe. I love the group of people that I get to interact with, and I love that I get to share some things that have worked for me. So just happy to be part of this today.
Well, happy to have you, and thank you so much for being part of what I hope will be an energizing and engaging workshop. If any of you have ever taken any of my classes, and I think most of you have, you know, I can be a little animated, so hang in there or hold on tight, but we're going to have fun today. So I'm going to go backwards to go forward and tell you again, reiterate our objectives of this course, and mostly everything you said in the way of expectations is going to be covered. Help you fill the gap between your passion and your purpose so you can create a business of your dreams with confidence. A business of your dreams, not your neighbor's dreams, not the guru's dreams. Create or recreate a business that is less hustle and grind and more ease and flow. So what I'm going to do is just hopefully help you unbecome what you think you know about having a business and become what's easy about having a business. Hustle and grind is a myth. You do not have to hustle and grind if you know who you are. Learn how to grow your business with powerful intuition-based coaching. As I said earlier, if you have a heart, you have intuition. Just got to teach you how to tap into it and get that left brain out of the way, the dumb executor, right? All right. So the first two objectives are going to be covered in workshop one today, and then the third one is going to be covered in workshop two next week. Super excited. You may have noticed that in some of the materials that I send out to you, I have play, discover, and explore. Because that's how we learn. If you watch kids, children, that's how they learn best, through playing, discovering, and exploring. They don't censor themselves. They don't filter themselves. They don't reflect on, am I doing something right? They just are present. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. I know it's going to be difficult because a lot of us over the age of five have had that idea of play beaten out of us. Do any of you, some of you might not be old enough to remember this, and this how important play is. Do you remember Schoolhouse Rock? I learned the preamble listening to Schoolhouse Rock because it engaged my right brain. I learned the Bill of Rights listening to Schoolhouse Rock. To this day, I can sing it, but I won't scream your ears out, but, you know, I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. I mean, I would hop around the house, and I know this now to my grave because it involved playing. Music is part of the right brain, right? Playing engages the right brain. The right brain is all about creativity and exploring your heart. So we will be playing a little bit today, all right? So I want you to bring your kid self to the table. Try to remember what she was like before she was taught to be quiet and still, all right? So I did talk about Schoolhouse Rock. Next on the agenda. The heart of doing business. We are starting with the heart of doing business. Why? Because you can't figure out what you want to do until you figure out who you are in your business. And I believe you see the quote I have from Bishop T.D. Jakes. If you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion. For your passion will lead you right into your purpose. Passion is energy. It excites you. Right? It really does. I mean, I listened to Kimberly talk about why she does what she does, and I heard that passion there. I listened to Valerie tell her story, part of her story, and I heard that passion there. And that's what I want for all of you, right? So the shortest distance between your passion and your purpose is being aware of that feeling and then going for more of it, following your bliss. Others may have a similar purpose that you do, and it's okay. But they won't be you. Your unique passion is not their passion. Passion is also values driven. So if a lot of you have passion, but you're finding that you're not as, engaged, it's because you're doing your business or doing life out of alignment with your values, and it depletes you. And that may be one of the reasons that you don't have passion. Or the natural state, again, is to be open as a child. And to be passionate. But if somebody's telling you, and I've noticed this too with some of my clients, if I say, hey, what's your passion? And they'll say, oh, I'm just making this up. My passion is to climb rocks. But that's so stupid. Or nobody's going to respect that. You're living out of alignment with your values, and then you're diminishing your passion because somebody else's belief system that you took on. So I want to do another quote because I think it's important for you to hear this. So maybe the journey to your passion is not so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place. And Valerie's going to tell us a little bit about that. So I really want you to know it takes courage, you know, to override this and be your true self. And Valerie's going to tell a story of courage that brought her where she is now. So without further ado, I'm going to let Valerie introduce herself and what she does now and how she got from where she was on becoming to become her true authentic self. Go for it, Valerie. Uh-oh, you're muted. I'm going to unmute you. Go for it.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, sounds good. Hello, ladies. Let's see, where do I start? I used to be in finance, so I'm not a health professional or a coach or anything along those lines, but I used to be in finance. I used to be a contractor to the Department of Defense doing finance, and it wasn't anything I was necessarily interested in. I just kind of fell into it, and you start making money and get comfortable, that kind of thing. So I kept on going, knowing I was not supposed to be doing it. I knew it the entire time, but I got complacent. And I got nudges every now and then that I needed to do something different, and I ignored them because I was busy and I was making my money and I was running around being a businesswoman and that kind of thing. So came a time when, in the background, I was doing a lot of volunteer work. Anywhere and everywhere, I go volunteer at the Heart Association. I'd go do the AIDS ride. My husband and I would run marathons and do bike rides and raise money and do all kinds of stuff, and I'd get bored and we'd move on and go do something else. All that was looming in the background. Until, because this is what happens when you don't pay attention to the little cues that come along, then eventually the brick comes along. So my brick was being laid off, and it actually was not the first time I had gotten laid off, because as a government contractor, you get laid off all the time. If a company loses a contract, another company might pick it up and hire the same people the day after. That kind of thing happens all the time. But coincidentally enough, nothing's really a coincidence, but I got laid off and could not find another job, even though I was interviewing for the same types of jobs, literally the same job description I had before. I could not get another job. And in my heart of hearts, I knew I didn't want to do that kind of work anymore. So my husband, luckily, very supportive, says to me, why don't you take a second and figure out what you do want to do? So that's what I did. So to back up just a teach, we had had a son. We have one child. We had a son probably about a year or two before that, who happens to have Down syndrome. And he's 8 years old now in the third grade, doing great. But before, I was working my job. I go volunteer with the ARC, which, if no one knows, is a nationwide organization, has local chapters, and it does work for children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So I go to work, I do my work, hated to do it, came home, and there was a meeting to go to, or they want to do something like, at one point, they wanted to go to Annapolis, because we're in Maryland, and they wanted to do some advocacy work, and I was like, great, I'll go do that. I did anything they wanted me to do, because I found it meaningful. And when I got laid off, I didn't know what I was going to do in terms of work, but I found that I had more time to spend with them. So one day, they were going to Annapolis to advocate for something, I have no idea what. And they said, do you want to go? Well, great. I had nothing else to do because I'm unemployed, right? So go to Annapolis with my 8x10 glossy of our son, Matthew. And whatever they were advocating for, we were in some state senator's office. And I said, our child's doing fine, but all kids aren't. And I'm waving Matthew's picture. And the kids need this. And I'm going off about something. And eventually they said to me, well, you're already doing the work. Why don't you join the board for our local chapter? Fine, I've got all the time in the world, right? And eventually they said, well, you're still doing the work. Why don't you join the state chapter? Okay, great, I'll do that. I'm still unemployed. And then I ran across an internship, and I'm thinking, I am way too old to be doing anyone's internship. but it was offered to me and applied for it. It was offered to me. I went on and took it with the Arc of the United States downtown in D.C. And they took me all around D.C. To all kinds of meetings that had to do with rights and health and employment and education and everything that had to do with children, adults, or disabilities. Introduced me to a lot of people. I was in and out of offices on the Hill. I was feeling energized. I was doing something purposeful. And then after that was over, what appeared was opening. There's something called the Kennedy Public Policy Fellowship, and there's literally one spot in the United States. They have two overseas every year, but they have one in the United States, and I decided to go ahead and apply for it. And I got it, and as a result of that, I wound up on the U.S. Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee in the Senate doing disability policy and civil rights. And when I stopped to think about it later on, I literally had no idea how that happened. It wasn't anything I could have orchestrated. And that position on the Hill introduced me to even more people and opened up more doors, and that was a springboard to a lot of other things that are going on. So at the moment, I'm Director of Government Relations for a nationwide association for special education. So technically, I'm a special education lobbyist, and I feel excited that every day I get to get up and kind of figure out what can I do to make things better, not just for my child, but for other children and other adults. And I happen to deal with K-12 education, early childhood, but we also pay a ton of attention to what goes on in employment and health and independent living and doing something constructive, because I recognized before that when I was doing work in terms of finance, I was taking up someone else's dream job. And I would move papers from the left side of my desk to the right side of my desk to someone else's desk, but I didn't feel like I was doing anything purposeful. And I know that in terms of what our military needs, that kind of thing, it was purposeful for them, but it didn't feel purposeful for me. So when I got out of that, I felt a little freer. And what I was volunteering doing, quote unquote volunteering, eventually led to something I could do for a living, and I didn't even recognize it, and I just kept doing it until it opened up and turned into something else. So I don't know. That's all I wanted to share, Tony, unless you have some questions for me. I can't hear you.
There we go.
Because you're muted. Yeah,
I'm not muted. First of all, I never get tired of hearing that story. Full disclosure, she is a client. And the first time I heard Valerie's story, my heart was just like leaped out of my chest. Like I was just so, you told it first in a non, you know, like a matter of fact way. And then when we started talking, I heard the energy. I heard the energy rise. I heard the excitement. I heard that you followed your bliss at any point between the start of this journey, where you are now. Did you ever feel like afraid?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I felt very afraid in that. At the time, when you're used to having a paycheck come in, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it is gone, and you know you don't want to do what you used to do that you were good at, but don't know what's going to open up next. And then on top of that, I'm not 21, so the thought of starting in another line of work, how far back do I have to go in terms of salary? What does that look like? I have a household that I need to help support. So all these questions were looming in my mind, and they were still there, but when a door opened and it felt like the right thing to do, I just did it. And then another door would open, and I said, this feels like the right thing to do. So I stepped through that door, and it was a series of doors and windows that opened that led me to what's going on now.
I love what I'm hearing you say is that the fear of the unknown did not exceed your passion for following your bliss. And I want you all really understand that. It's not that you're going to do it fearlessly, but I'm hoping that your desire to follow your passion will override your fear so that you can be your true self. I love what you said, that that when you had a job that was not giving you passion, that you were taking up space in somebody else's dream job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do that. I like that one a lot. Mm-hmm. I also like the fact that you went to the edge. I think Morgan Freeman has a quote that if you're not sitting on the edge, you're taking up too much space. We have all got to find our edge, but we're taking up too much space. Anybody have any questions? Thank you for that. It was beautiful, and I really appreciate that. I hope you all were inspired by that, because just amazing. She's very humble about it, but believe me, that position is a big deal. It's a big, hairy deal. It's service work, and I applaud you. And it's service work with abundance, so you can have both, right? So I know some coaches think that they can't have abundance with that, and you can if you know who you are, and she did. Valerie backed away into knowing who she was by figuring out who she wasn't, and that's kind of how I did it. Mm-hmm. That's okay, too, right? It's still the art or the act of unbecoming to become. As long as you know it and you shed it and you don't look back, you say, bye-bye. Keep moving forward and following your bliss. Yeah. Anybody have any questions for her? No worries if you don't. It's not required. Thank you so much, Valerie. Feel free to hang with us or leave. It's entirely up to you. But if you stay along, you feel like you want to play with us, we certainly would not. So play along. All right. Put you on mute. Thank you so much. It was very inspiring. So the heart of doing business, we just found that what passion looked like. We found what passionate purpose looked like. We found how you get from passion to purpose. Sometimes it's a straight road. Most times it's not. Sometimes what gets in our way is living out of alignment with our core values, which Valerie just explained to us. That's only one way. Another way that we end up being out of alignment or not understanding our passion is we may know what our passion is, but we're afraid to embrace it because of our belief system or society's belief system. Or maybe you don't know because society tells you that your passion should be based on a skill. Passion is innate. It's based. It's something that you know from childhood that you were meant to be and meant to do. It's something you just have a knowing for. It doesn't mean that it's not developed, but it's not a skill set like accountant. You know, that's what I was trained to do, but that's not who I am. So passion comes from knowing your strengths, right? And if you don't know your strengths, that's where most of you are going to have to start, because your strengths usually lead to your passion, because anything you feel strong about, or you're going to feel successful, and you're going to keep doing more and more of that. And that's kind of what Valerie did as well, right? She said, oh, okay. And I guess if you had to identify what your strengths are, could you say at least one? Valerie, that prepared you for that? Uh-oh, you're muted. Now you're not.
Okay, strength. I don't mind talking, and I like people.
I love that. You're like me. You don't mind talking and you like people. Mm-hmm. I love that. So does everybody have a piece of paper and a pen handy? If you don't, go get one, but that's okay. If you don't, you're listening in the car, that's okay too. So it has been my experience that people don't really, when I say people, I mean every last single one of us have been conditioned to think a certain way and to focus on certain things. What we don't focus on are the positive things about ourselves. So you have, and I want to show hands up in 15 seconds, you have only 15 seconds to tell me what you know to be your strength that's innate, that if no one told you you were good at it, you know for sure. Starting now. Hands up. Stop. Okay, the reason I do that is because most people can't tell me what their strengths are, but they can give me 20 things that they're not good at. That's got to change. Okay, so I'm going to start with me. I know from a little girl what my strength is. I have empathy, great empathy. I'm a relator. I'm a connector. I'm a developer, right? I know this from a little girl because I was always chosen as captain of a team, not because I had the greatest skill set, but because I knew how to motivate people. So we're going to go around. Cindy, what did you write? What did you come up with?
Well, I wrote down that I'm a good problem solver. And I've always enjoyed learning. I'm very methodical and organized.
Wow.
Oriented.
So you know your strengths. That's awesome. And we're gonna show you at some point how to get from your strengths to your passion to your purpose. That was a good start. Thank you for sharing. Awesome. Valerie. Oh, before we start, I want to tell you guys, this is not a competition. So if you weren't able to do that in 15 seconds, it's just information. It's just information. It just means that that's an area that you might want to focus on. Okay, Miss Valerie, go for it. I'm going to unmute you. There you go. Are we clicking at the same time? Unmute. Go.
I wrote down listening, compassion, curiosity, seeing the big picture.
Wow. And you did that in 15 seconds. So, yeah, you guys are on the right track. Awesome. All right, Lynn.
It's like Valerie and I are such great co-coaches. We have similar skills. I wrote down, I'm a listener, compassionate, a patient, and a researcher.
Nice. Nice. I like that. You know yourself too, who you are. Again, it'll be easier transition to passion, because if you follow your strengths, follow your bliss, passion, what are you passionate about? You'll do more of it, and you'll ease into your purpose, or you'll fall into it, or it'll crash on you. Okay, Angelica?
Yeah, I had a hard time, but I was going a little slowly, but the words that came out immediately were, I'm persistent and very strong-willed.
Okay. All right. Nice. I appreciate that, and I also appreciate your honesty in saying that it was a little difficult for you. Yeah. Because, again, most of us are, what are we doing? We're always trying to fix what's wrong, right? Because in school, they fixed your weaknesses. And when you get an appraisal or review, when I used to do them for my employees, they had 9 good things, and I was supposed to help them fix their one weakness that had nothing to do with their ability on the job. So we're all been trained to fix stuff that we're not innately supposed to do. So that was awesome. I'm glad you were able to overcome that. Who did I miss? Michelle. Uh-oh. You're still muted. I'm going to unmute you. Uh-oh.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So I put leading and inspiring change in others, organization, and designing. My skills in those 15 seconds.
Yeah, you all did great. This is going to be a shorter step, a shorter distance to purpose. All right. Thank you, ma'am. Amy, did I get you already?
No, not yet. Okay. I definitely know that I have always had lots of empathy and compassion, very detail-oriented and analytical. I've got a love for learning ever since I was a teenager, just constantly into interest in self-development. And then I guess just the ability to multitask and take the lead in various situations.
Very nice. I'm just super psyched, because that's good. You guys have been doing either some self-work, or it's not the first time you've ever said, this is what I'm good at. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that. I asked for one. I got mostly 3 or more from the rest of you. So that's awesome. Louisa, can you chat? I'll unmute you. Nope, there you go.
Okay. The first thing that came to my mind was, I'm detailed. I'm looking for always for solutions. Mm-hmm. And I don't give up. I persevere. Yes, and I do that because I am very caring.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. You guys are on it. That is awesome. I've been in other groups where literally nothing in 15 seconds. So thank you so much for that. I'm going to mute you. And last but not least, Jill.
Hi. I'd say I feel I have empathy and caring and a strong interest in health and mental well-being.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. I love everything that was shared here. So now I'm going to ask you, knowing that is your strength, those are your strengths, what have you done to move that along in a passionate way? Do you volunteer? Do you use it in your business? Do you do it on your friends? So for me, for example, before I understood who I was, I was guiding my friends to be better versions of themselves, not telling them what to do, but it's innate. It's like, I can't not do that. It's nothing. It's like breathing or not breathing if I can't do it. So as far as I can see, I've been practicing that or doing that since I was a little girl. So can any of you just, you know, tell me just briefly if you use those strengths to your knowledge in a passionate way? Give me one example if you have it. Kimberly, did I get you? I'm sorry. Did we miss you earlier about your strengths?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, the first thing that came to my mind was that I can take pretty complicated ideas and kind of explain it in an easier way for people to understand.
Nice. So you were last, I'll let you go first. Where are you, where do you see that moving towards your passion? How have you moved that towards a passion? What have you done with that?
I think I've always used it, and I've always been lucky in that I picked careers where I got to do that.
Nice.
And to teach and to train and inspire people based on science, based on what we know, based on what I've learned. I can explain it in an easy to understand way and inspire people to use the information.
Nice. And the more you do it, the more you want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that you're doing that. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody want to volunteer, or should I call you out?
I'll volunteer.
Go for it.
So yeah, I've used that, the skills with passion when I'm volunteering, putting in, especially like for either other homeowners or schools, like gardening systems, or when I'm teaching people about how to raise food in some way at home.
Yeah,
I've definitely done the leading, organizing, designing, creating for those.
Nice. So you've been able to see your strengths or your that's innate, and you've been able to express it in your gardening business, or which I've seen your garden is beautiful, by the way. Yes, that's good. Thank you. So you guys are on the right track. We're getting closer and closer to narrowing that gap. Who's next?
I'll say something.
Yay.
In the 80s, I was getting started in the IT world. And my first job was working with a couple of computer people who were pretty much mean, and everybody was scared of them. And this is during the time when companies were bringing in computers and people weren't used to them. So I ended up always being the go-between. So everybody came to me, I would hear what they needed, and then I would either do what they needed or get help doing it, because that way they didn't have to deal with the people they were so afraid of.
Nice. And that felt innate to you. Like it was like breathing, right? You couldn't help yourself.
Right.
Yeah. That's what passion is all about. And that's what those skills that you have now, those like, you know, even if you couldn't put a name on it, you just know that that's who you are. That's what you want to embody and put into your business. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Anybody else want to volunteer? Go. Oh, great. Go, Angelica. Yeah.
The way I perceive, you know, my natural abilities is that I can put myself through challenging, well, in terms of my health business, challenging things. I can try protocols. I can go through the things that I expect or want to teach others. And I think that, you know, you need to have a strong will to do that, because a lot of these things we learn are different and challenging to follow and stick to and break our old habits. So that's how I see that I can like really share that gift with the world.
Awesome. So when you say that, what feeling, what emotion comes up for you?
I get excited. I get really excited about inspiring other people to make dramatic changes to the way they eat and the way they live in their body. So it's exciting. There is some doubt, if I'm being honest. Like, I want to inspire others to be really strong and break bad habits, but there's some doubt underneath. Can I do it? Can I really, do people really want to live that way? Or is that just you, Angelica? Are you just like projecting what you want, how you think the world should be on other people?
I'm going to tell you, I heard that when you were talking about the, you know, how I heard the undertones of excitement. But what I heard even greater was the doubt. So if you, I'm going to, your challenge is to just be a kid and just feel it and do it. And if no one else wants, you know, your tribe will show up for you, but you have to come strong with it. Just like what Valerie did. She didn't know where that was going to go, but she didn't censor herself, and she didn't filter herself, and she just decided that she followed her bliss, the excitement. Follow your bliss, follow the excitement. You don't have to go out and look for your people. Your people will find you because they're going to follow that energy. So thank you for being honest and sharing that. It's amazing. Who's next? I'm not keeping track. Okay, who's smiling at me? Cindy, go for it.
Sure. So I had mentioned one of my strengths is problem solving, and I like looking at problems end to end. So when I look at the way my career has evolved over time, I'm actually a Lean Six Sigma black belt now, and a lot of what I do on the job is to help teams to map out their processes and see things from an end-to-end perspective. So I like that part of my job. And what I want to transition to moving away from the corporate world is to learn more about how the same type of techniques and thought process can apply to the human body as well. So I've been taking a lot of courses outside of what I'm doing today to get paid for with Dr. Reed Marie and so many other courses. And I just think that skill is applicable to other things. And that's what I bring to the various things that I do both inside and outside of work.
I love that. So you said a couple of things that I really want to share with people that you don't have just one purpose, right? I don't care. Honestly, I coach health coaches, I coach coaches and coach wannabes, I coach executives, I coach leaders, I'll coach anybody. You walk my path, I'm gonna coach you. So you don't have to limit yourself to an industry. So an example of that is, and you just said that, so most of the time if people go into an occupation, it matches maybe what they have the desire to do unless they've been beaten into submission to be a doctor, lawyer, or accountant, like I was. So that's can have lots of passions. They can have a passion because they know that they are, you know, they're animal whisperers, right? They've been able to, you know, feel animals and intuit with them. Or they are into nutrition, or they're into science and biology. You can express your passion any which way you want to. You don't have to stop because society says you have to be this or you have to be that. The important thing is the expression of the passion, as long as it's in alignment with your core values. So Valerie and I, what we have in common is that I was also in a government agency. I was able to be a successful coach because that's what I called myself. I had award-winning teams, but the value system was out of alignment for me. I'm not big on competition. I'm big on integrity and government. Well, you know, I'm not even going to go further there. But that almost destroyed my passion. I realized I had to leave, or everything that I wanted to do in life was going to just, you know, we adapt as humans because we adapt or die, right? So I adapted to a point, but my body was breaking down because I was stuffing everything in. I had adrenal issues. I had, you know, my weight went way down. It was just awful. So that's an example of making sure that you express your passion in a way that's not out of alignment with your core values. So I'll leave you guys with that. Who else needs to share? I'm not keeping score.
This is Lynn. I'll share.
Thank you, Lynn.
So my passion is my family and nurturing. Mm-hmm. And I have this picture on my wall that I once drew for some class I took. And it was like this tree, but it looked like it had big breasts and, you know, just big deep roots and leaves, and the tree, the branches and everything just look like, and I realized that's how I feel about myself, that I'm just this, like a grounded tree, earth mother, just nurturing the world. And I do that just by being there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you express that in your family. Do you express it anywhere else? Where else do you?
Whoever comes to me.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so it's good to see people, you all are moving towards, you know, the passion of what you know you're innately here to do. Who did I miss? It's the honor system, guys.
I'll go.
Go for it.
So I really like to teach, and I find that most of the teaching that I do is on a one-on-one basis with a client. So I have desires to teach more, and so I feel available, and not always the availability does not always match the opportunity. So anyway, that's kind of where my desires are going towards.
Can you remember, thank you for sharing that, can you remember, you know, the first time you had an opportunity to teach, what that felt like and what situation that was?
I have done a lot of teaching at church, mm-hmm. and also I got a degree in teaching, and so I taught second grade. And I homeschooled my kids as well. So every time that I had an opportunity to teach, it's brought me joy.
There you go.
And now my kids are all grown, and they were my major focus for many, many years. And so now they're all off doing their thing. And so it's my business has become more important, I would say, because of that shift in life, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I would like to see my business blossom, I guess is the word.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Honor system, Louisa smiled at me. That means you haven't gone yet. Go for it.
yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes. Well, I do not, you know, I picked a profession that I really practice my passion every single day. Nice. And what's interesting is, you know, I do care. And even though every single day I'm solving patients' problems, and that's why I went into fields that nobody wanted to handle. And then the now bringing in health nutrition to my practice is also because I was caring for these patients, and I went the extra mile for that to help them. And so I just had no idea that what I had picked is exactly what I do every single day.
Nice.
So I don't, you know, I am so passionate about it that I'm not planning on retiring. And I think that's great.
I because love that.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. So first of all, you know, high five. Yeah, you don't want a job you have to retire from. You know, that, you know, really you're meant to work until we're just going in the field like Native Americans do and say we're done, right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And life has to be full of that passion. I have noticed, and I'm so glad you said that about retirement, that of course working in a government agency from the time, I guess I was about 25 years old, I used to hear these people count down days to retirement. And mm-hmm. even their 40s, I mean, literally, how scary is that? And then because they really didn't have any passion other than retirement, once they retired, they literally expired. Because if you don't have any passion, you don't have any joy, you're, you know, most people are going to medicate, self-medicate, you know, with alcohol, whatever, whatever. They're going to eat foods that aren't good. So these people counted down to retirement, paid a lot of money into the system to retire, and then 3 years later, gone. So I'm happy to hear, because that's how I feel too. Like I'm going to do this until the expiration date comes up for me.
Yeah. Yesterday I had a physician, and he's a pathologist, and he's about, he's younger than I am, but he's already counting the days to be retired. And he looks at me and he says, "You are so fortunate that you don't have to work with all these politics of the hospital," because he wished he could have a situation where he could still continue to work. But he just, it's the same thing about the government. So he's counting the days to retire. He told me, "I have 1 year in 3 weeks to go. And then he looks at me and he says,
that is what a life without passion looks like. And so for him,
he says, you're not going to retire, are you? Yeah. So you're right.
Well, I think that until you can get out of a situation, and that's what I did. I said, well, you know, I'm in it. And, you know, I'm in it until I can make the great escape. I had to find passion in what I was doing. And the passion in what I was doing was helping people, helping them maneuver the system, building award-winning teams, inspiring and motivating, teaching my, creating a legacy for myself that I came, I did something spectacular, and I left. But that's what you want. So no matter where you are, figure out a way to have some of your passion, your strengths in what you do until you can do better or do something else. The other thing I did was I had this desire to, you know, I was into health. So I started taking a lot of classes. As you build up that passion base, what you're doing that's not contributing to it starts to really raise its ugly head because you have this other side saying, more please, more please, more please, more please. And that's what happens. That's how you end up going to your purpose. It's like an alarm, a smoke alarm that keeps going off until you do something. So yeah, thank you. That was awesome, Louisa. Who else? Did I hear from you, Amy?
No, not yet. I was about to finally fess up. I didn't go. My empathy and compassion in life has led me along the way to when I was stuck in allowing myself to stay stuck in corporate. I use that empathy and passion outside of my work life and volunteered for various animal rights organizations, took in many homeless animals, and then adopted a vegan diet about 20 or so years ago. And realizing like that is my passion ultimately led me to finally abandon my corporate job last year and find work this year supporting a business that promotes plant-based diets. So so that's how I'm living my passion now.
Following your bliss. I love that. And so you kind of are an example of what Valerie was saying. Mm-hmm. As long as you follow your bliss, that it will come to you. You don't have to go out there hunting for it.
Right.
It will find you energetically.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Anybody else need to fess up? But did we get everybody? Yeah, we think we did. All right. That was awesome, lady. So, now we're going to get a little bit more into moving forward on the agenda. So the heart of doing business. If you look on the agenda, the next thing we're talking about is do what you love, not what you think you are supposed to do. Guilty as charged for many, many years, right? But the heart of doing business is doing what you love, not what you think you are supposed to do. So if you love what you do and you want to do it in a way that inspires you, then do it that way. So for example, for me, I don't like labels. So I started calling myself a master success coach. You're not going to push me in a corner and call me a yoga teacher. You're not going to call me a chef. You're not going to call me an eyesight improvement teacher. You know, call me what I know I was born here to do and be for people. So no labels. Because I didn't put labels on myself and I don't allow others, the world opens up for me. Because I'm not putting myself in a box. I am not doing what the world thinks I'm supposed to do. So do what you love, not what you think the world is supposed to do. So when I'm coaching my clients, three areas that we work on to make that happen. We talked about identifying and embracing your unique gifts. So we already did that strength finding stuff. So I think we're good to go there. The other thing is creating an emotional, inspirational mission statement. Heartfelt, right? That is what you want. Identifying your gifts is who you are. And then finally, establishing heart-focused goals. That's how you do it. So we already did the strengths part. So let's move into creating an emotional mission statement. So does everybody know what a mission statement is? Pretty much. So let's define it. So a mission statement, it guides you to lead with your heart and not your smart. Right? A mission statement says, this is who I am, not what I do. When I see mission statements that lead with, I have this, I have that, I'm not inspired by it. So if you're not inspired, your clients or whoever you're trying to attract is going to be inspired about it. So your mission statement is about you first, your business second, and then your ideals. So basically it includes what you do, what you stand for, and why you do it. just that easy. What you do, what you stand for, and why you do it. So I'm going to give an example of a client. I had a client, they always come to me like, I'm just a, okay, she's a yoga teacher, and she said, I'm just a yoga teacher, and I just want people to do yoga. Well, that's inspirational. No, it wasn't. So I gave her guidelines. I had something called a mission statement generator that started from here and blocked this. And she ultimately came up with what I thought was a really good mission statement. I don't think I have it here. I'll share it with you guys later so you can see how easy it is. Oh, here it is. She said, this is after a month of trying to get her out of her head down to her heart. She finally said, I provide guidance through mindful breaths, yoga movement, and meditation to stressed out moms so they find body and mind connection, discover ways to bring balance into their beings, and live a joyful life. I mean, for somebody that started with, I'm just a yoga teacher, this is pretty good. Because she also started saying, well, this person puts that in their mission statement, so maybe if I put that, people will come to me. She had trouble attracting clients until she used this as a mission statement. Does it still need a little work? Yeah, a little bit, but it was a good start. It was a good start. My mission statement from where I started 10, 15 years ago, totally different from now. So it will evolve as you evolve. But I just want to let you know, again, it should include what you do, who you do it for, why you do it. Why you do it is the passion. Anybody want to explore that anymore? Anybody want to share the mission statement if you have one that you want to share? If you don't, that's one of the things we're going to be working on for your heart work. Go for it, Angelica.
Yeah, I've been working on mine, so I'll give you the first round. Yes. I educate millennial women about their digestion and help them remove emotional blocks to healing so they can live a life of joy, purpose, and connection.
I like how this, you went. Tell me, what was that? What was that?
I guess just me, like, judging the wording. Like, is that right? Is that the stuff? Like, I don't know. It's like, I think I need to work on it more.
Well, I want you to feel that you have to work on it, not think about it. So if it didn't inspire you, and I think it was very good, but it has to inspire you before it can inspire anybody else.
Think about it, and
it's not the words so much, but the feeling. I'm not quite there yet. So thank you for sharing that. And so I invite you to drop right here and keep thinking. When you think about your mission statement and you're feeling like, who am I serving? Right, I want you to say it like, So I'm going to, read mine again or tell you mine again. So my mission statement should be more than 3 or 4 statements. And that's my bio too, right? I coach, educate, train, and develop executives, health and wellness clients, coaches and coach wannabes so that they can achieve their bold goals. I am a master success coach. I'm a change agent that inspires and empowers organizations and individuals to be their highest and true selves, to be the best version of themselves. That is my passionate purpose. That's what wakes me up in the morning. That's what keeps me sleep at night. Keeps me up at night when I'm thinking about ways. How many more ways can I do this? Not to reinvent myself, but to continue to make a dent in people's lives. That's what I want to feel when you read yours. It won't get there, but thank you for sharing. So she's an ideal client. This is where a lot of my clients get stuck, right? Because they're in their heads about it instead of their hearts. If it feels good to you, it's going to feel good to me. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. That was amazing. You guys are doing so great. You're making it fun for me. Okay. So we talked about creating an emotional and inspirational mission statement. And I do have some documents if you guys want to continue to explore that, because I think it's super important. Before you can even focus on what you want to do, you've got to explore who you are in your business. You can't do it the other way around. You can. It's painful, and you'll have a lot of skid marks, I'm telling you. Because it's not about what you do, it's who you are. Because if it's about what you do, guess what you're going to do? You're going to say, well, that person does it shinier and bigger. Let me do that way. Well, that person does it this way. You're going to be following that guru and this guru. You're going to spend a lot of money. Kimberly and I talked about this because we guilty as charged. You're going to spend a lot of money following somebody else's passion, not your own. That's why you cannot get to what you do until you get to the heart of why you're doing it. Spend as much time as you need here. It'll make the rest of the trip easy. Okay? And it's only hard because we're a left-brain society and we overthink everything and we underfeel. You'll get there. Thank you again. So the third thing that I tell my clients, you know, in that process is I like them to establish passion-focused goals. So what does that mean? If you have a passion for knitting, I want you to knit. You have a passion for reading, I want you to read, right? Because that, I see Liv says she knits, I saw that. That's awesome. That's the only way you're going to get to your purpose. The more you follow your passion, the more the purpose will, you'll bridge that gap. I don't care how small you do, as long as it's impactful, it can be a small thing. But that's what I tell my clients. And so we set up, you know, okay, good, let's do that for 60 days. Okay, let's do more. It builds up momentum. It builds up, ooh, more please, more please, more please, more please, more please, more please, more please. And then the purpose will come. Okay. So in closing this area out, I do want you to think when you talk about establishing your passion focused goals, think about what excites you in life or your business. Or in this case, we're talking about business. Think about what you have to do more of to get that bliss. Think about what you have to do less of to get that bliss. It's that easy. Don't overthink it. So I love this quote by Arthur Ashe. He says, because a lot of us are like, well, once I do this, I can get started. Once I do that, I can get started. Arthur Ashe says, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. You all are ready. Do something. So now, unless you all want to take a little break now, Kimberly, now we're moving into the business of doing business. So in the real world, you guys would have this heart thing all, you know, ironed out. And you're like, okay, now I know who I am. I'm ready to do what I want to do. Well, Kimberly's going to tell you what that next process looks like. And I want to introduce her. I mean, I'm sure she can, you know, pretty much introduce herself. But I think, you know, I just want to share with you all how fabulous she is. If you haven't already had the pleasure of being coached by her, or being in her presence, she's an amazing human being. She is a holistic practitioner specializing in trauma. Kimberly is also passionate, like that word, about teaching and supporting other practitioners. She spent 12 years training and mentoring health coaches for a national nutrition and weight loss company. Currently, she is teaching at the Institute of Nutrition and Endocrinology. You guys have probably seen her, some of you, where she serves also as the training and program director for the Functional Nutrition Coaching Program. Without further ado, I bring you Coach Extraordinaire, Kimberly Ward.
Wow, that sounds, I love the way that sounds. Thank you, Tony.
It's so awesome.
It feels good to hear that out loud from somebody else. it's still a little uncomfortable for me to own my brilliance. And that's something that I've had to work on a lot. And that's something I work with my clients on a lot also, is to really being able to get out of the humble, like, oh no, I'm not good at that, right? And to just really own, I'm good at this.
Yeah,
I'm good at training. I am a good practitioner. And if I don't own that, I cannot be successful. So I just want y'all to know it's still a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to step into it and own it. And I appreciate hearing it out loud from you, Tony. And I appreciate the warm welcome. So I just want to check in. Is now a better time to do a quick bathroom break, or do you want to wait till I'm done with my presentation? Just kind of see where everyone's at.
Hers is a little bit longer than mine. So if you guys want to take a little bit of break now, how are you feeling? Let's do a 10-minute break. Is that good? So we're going to come back. I have 1:12. We're going to come back exactly 1:22. If you aren't here on time, you have to pick it up in the recording. All right. Let's break.
You want to pause your recording?
That'd be awesome. Will you remind me to turn it back on? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lynn. Let's pause. Let's start the recording. Yay! Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for coming back in a timely manner. I want to go backwards before we go forward. So we started this wonderful workshop with the heart of doing business. Feel more and think less to unleash your passionate purpose. We had a really lovely time sharing and exchanging energy. And so now we're going to move into the second part of this workshop, which is just as exciting and engaging, the business of doing business. This is more joy, less overwhelm for business you love that loves you back. Anybody want any of that? I know I do. You can have it. So our lovely facilitator for this, Mrs. Kimberly Ward, is going to go ahead and give us a chat on that. So with that, I'm going to turn everything over to her, and we're going to be listening like the rest of you. Go for it.
Yay. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
This is so fun for me. And I just kind of want to start off with, you know a little bit about me now, but I want to just explain why I am a person that is maybe a little bit qualified to talk a little bit about this topic. We're not going to go deep in the weeds. We're going to just keep it big picture, but the way that I roll is I have content prepared, but if there's questions or something that needs to be addressed that is appropriate, then we're going to go there. So please feel free to speak up if you have any questions. If it's not appropriate or in the flow, then we'll save it to the end. But I want to give you a little bit more information about why I might be a little bit qualified for this topic, and that is I started working as an entrepreneur, having a holistic practice when I was barely 21. So I really, right out of the gate, got to be a practitioner. And I was able to make money and make a living at that. I worked as a body worker. I did other various things as a practitioner. And I ended up then working as a midwife, as my own practitioner. And so I do have a background of working in a space of being an entrepreneur. And that's very, very different than being in the space of an employee, right? Very, very different. I then, after many years of working for myself as a business owner, an entrepreneur, being in practice, I moved into the corporate world. And in the corporate world, you're an employee. I was a very high salaried employee, but I lost my life. I loved my work. I loved training coaches. I loved working with clients. I absolutely loved every second of what I did, except it took my life. I had no identity anymore outside of my work. I lost connection with my family and my friends because I was so busy working this job. I loved it. On one hand, I was a single mom. I needed to make a living. I made a great living. But on the other hand, I lost myself and my own personal joy. And so because of my life circumstances, I knew I needed to take charge of my life again. I really, really wanted to be in charge of my life and my schedule and my money in a way that I couldn't be as an employee. Being an employee is fine if that's your joy. My joy was gone, even though I loved what I did. My joy in my health was deteriorating greatly, similar to Tony's experience in the corporate world. I mean, gosh, that happens to us, doesn't it? We lose ourselves and our health if we're not very, very careful and have good boundaries. And I'm a person that didn't have any boundaries. So it was not joyful for me anymore in my own life. I could have probably gone on forever if my body didn't tell me to stop. And my body told me to stop. So I left the corporate world and I had to re-enter the arena of being an entrepreneur, being a business owner. And that was at that time a hard shift for me. I'd been there before, but I'm in a different place now. I'm older. I'm a mother. I'm a single mother, dealing with lots of stress. And it was a very different thing for me. It was easy to be the expert when I was working for a company. I could say, I'm just representing them. But to own my own knowledge, own myself as a practitioner was harder that time around. And so I've been now in practice for over five years. The first year I kind of just took some time off and studied and played. And I did take some clients, but I didn't take it very seriously. And so it's 4.5 years now of actually being in practice. And one of the things that happened to me, which I really encourage you to be careful of, is that I was actually making money and I was seeing clients pretty successfully, but my view of that and my interpretation of success was really limited. My belief and the limiting beliefs I had and the way I saw what was happening with the progression of my business was really depressing and sad. It wasn't until I really was able to do the work, the inner work, right, to work on my own ability to be seen, to own my expertise, to own my brilliance, to be able to show up and ask people to work with me, to offer what I do for people, and to look at the darn numbers, to look and really see the truth of what's happening in my business. I was doing way better than I gave myself credit for. I really had to shift from the old way of thinking as an employee to being a business owner. And once I did that, really shifted into that and took my business, the actual business, very seriously and really tracked everything and looked at the numbers, I was like, wow, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. Like, I'm actually pretty successful. A year into the NEPT program and I was paying all my bills with coaching my clients. That was a big deal for me. Then life happens. My son was in an accident. Now I have all these medical bills. So then I saw myself as not being successful because I wasn't making more money to the level that I needed to because of that new bill. So instead of seeing my business as being successful, I went, oh, I'm not making enough money. I'm not successful. Totally ridiculous, right? I look at it on paper now and go, wow, I have really grown a business. And everything that I've done, all the opportunities that have come to me have been in alignment with my passion and my purpose. So the first things first, like Tony says, you have to know your passion. Your purpose will show up. You stay in alignment with that and it will come together. And I have wasted a lot of money, a whole lot of money on different programs and systems. I am a believer in systems. I think systems are really useful and important, because you can automate some things. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can utilize somebody else's system and make it work for you, but you can get lost in the systems. So I'm just going to give you a look overview of some of these main talking points that we agreed on for our agenda, and kind of help you see how it's worked for me in a pretty short period of time to kind of own my expertise, to be able to get out there and ask for clients, to get some systems in place that are working. And like Tony said, you know, your tribe will find you. I now get to teach with Rita Marie and Laura, and that found me in a way that I didn't expect that, but it's totally in alignment with my joy, my passion, and my goals, my long-term goals. So being open to it coming to you in an unexpected way, I think is important, right? I've been open to new possibilities, but yet everything is very much in alignment with my goal and my passion. So one of the things that we wanted to cover today are just general business startup strategies. And I got to tell you, out of all the thousands and thousands of dollars that I have spent on different coaching and different programs and different systems, I'm going to tell you the one thing that was a total game changer for me. And that was one of my business coaches said, you have to shift your mindset from being an employee, from being a practitioner, from being a coach, from being a whatever I was, fill in the blank with the label. I am first and foremost an entrepreneur or business owner, and I specialize in coaching, or I specialize in trauma therapy. You fill in the blank. You are first and foremost a business owner. That was the game changer for me and really shifted my ability to move forward with more confidence. I still had fear and there was still discomfort, but I was able to move forward because I was able to hold my business as an entity. It's a thing. Your business is a thing. You work with your business. You work on your business. You work for your business, but it is a thing and you are totally responsible for it. Right? When I really got that and started to treat it that way, things really shifted for me, right? I was really good at being a practitioner. I needed to learn how to be an entrepreneur or business owner. So there's a big difference between the mindset of an employee and an entrepreneur, right? I mean, a very big difference in the mindset. As an employee, you show up, you're entitled to a paycheck, right? Not like that when you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, right? You have to work and work and work before you start seeing the paycheck come in. And not everybody is built for that. And that is totally fine. It's totally fine. You can still be a coach or a practitioner and not be an entrepreneur, right? You can work for somebody. You can find somebody that needs your services and you can work for them. That's not what I wanted. I wanted to be in charge of my hours, be in charge of my life, be in charge of my brand, be in charge of everything and not work for somebody. I ended up having to work harder, actually, than I did to earn a paycheck. But the payoff has been phenomenally good. And I'm really thrilled with where my life is and where my career is and where my business is right now. But you need to really take away this. I really hope for you to take away that concept. If you are a coach, a practitioner, a doctor, all right, wonderful. That's what you do. But first and foremost, you are a business owner and you specialize in what you do for your clients. Okay. Yes, Tony.
So I just want to do a feeling check-in. How did that land for you guys when you heard that you are a business owner first? I'm seeing a lot of emotion going on here.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony, for watching that because I'm looking at my speaker notes. So I'm not seeing everybody's face. So
what's showing up for, let's say, Valerie, when you hear that, what came up? Because I saw emotion just bouncing off the screen at me. I don't know what it is, but it's emotion.
You saw all that, huh?
I felt all that.
Well, what really rang with me was that not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. And I'm not sure that I am. I don't.
What else did you hear? Did you also hear the other side of that was what else?
What'd you say?
The other side of that was it's okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that gave me some relief.
Okay. I heard relief. That's awesome.
But then of course that always brings up, okay, then who am I going to work with? So
they will come. Don't worry about it. The important thing, and Kimberly, thank you for letting me kind of here. The important thing is to know who you are not. Who you are will come. You're unbecoming to become.
I'm kind of in limbo right now with all of this. So
there is movement. You just don't see it. It's on a cellular level. The fact that you claim that is movement.
Okay.
Anybody else want to share? I saw some interesting looks there. Angelica.
Again, it's the core belief of like, oh, you know, only special people become business owners. Like only.
Okay. No, don't go anyway. We're going to unpack that just a little bit. Can you define special?
Gosh, I don't know. People with the confidence and the guts, or if they're in a situation where they can just work on their business and they don't have to be, multitasking. But that's not true because there's plenty of people who have launched businesses when they've got a million other things like they're responsible for. I don't know. I don't really know where the wobble is in that for me. It's just.
So I'm going to invite you to explore that. I want to invite you to document what special is and then compare it to what you are and who you are. And I guarantee you won't see much of a difference. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. I wish we could unpack more, but I don't want to step all over Kimberly's. Who else? Jill. Oh, Kim. Lynn. Go for it, Lynn. Go for it. Lynn. No. Go, Lynn.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to step on Jill's.
No, she quick, the first person to the button gets in. Go for it.
Okay. All right. So I come from, as you were talking, I realized or remembered, I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. My mother owns her own business. Her mother owned her own business. Her father owned his own business. My dad owned his own business. His dad was self-employed. And what came up for me, well, first of all, there's this real grounding, like lower chakra feeling, but then also it kind of bounced because I saw how much they work and sacrificed. And so that's where I'm at, is saying, okay, now it's my turn at the reins with my business. I get to be grounded in it and choose how I want this to show up for me and my family. No sacrifices are needed.
Oh, I love that. So what's the, if you could put an emotional word on that, what word would that be?
It's not a word, it's a sound.
Let's hear it.
Mm.
I love that. Mm. I love that. Thank you for expressing. Emotion comes out in many ways. Tears, laughter, noise, movement. Thank you. All right, Cindy.
Well, I guess I heard Kimberly say that, you know, being an entrepreneur is like more work than being an employee. And I agree with that to a certain extent, but when I'm working on something, I give my whole. So I don't think I could give more than what I'm already giving being an entrepreneur. And I also, like Lynn, my parents owned their own business as well. So I grew up watching all the effort and things that they put into it, but in some ways they had more freedom as well. Mm-hmm. So, and then I did hear what Kimberly said, even though it's more work, it's worth it. And so, yeah, I'm kind of on that pivot point where I'm trying to decide, do I leave the corporate world and jump into something where I don't feel like I have the competency yet in terms of switching? I'm kind of an expert in my field and what I'm doing now. And I've got the skills. I think I can do something else, but to kind of give up what I'm doing now and move into something entirely different, even though I'm convinced I could do it. But, you know, I've been doing something for, you know, like 30 years and moving into something brand new, it's scary.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So what will happen is, and I see you getting there, the fear of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
Will ultimately not exceed the pain of staying. So you'll start making shifts, right?
Yeah. And I have.
Yeah, exactly. So I want you to applaud yourself and give yourself credit. Here's what we do as people. It's all or nothing. I'm not there yet, so I'm not giving myself any credit at all. Shifts every day, just thinking about it. Thinking is energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving the needle every time you think about it.
Right.
And so I'm going to invite you, this is your heart work. I'm going to invite you to write down all the things you can do and not focus on all the things you can't do. Focus on possibilities, not problems.
Right.
Okay. That's your heart work.
Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you, Cindy, for bringing up to my attention. The way that I worded that, I would, now that I know I said it that way, I'd reword it. I would say it's not more work, it's more responsibility when you are an entrepreneur, right? I chose to be an entrepreneur because I wanted more control over my schedule and my life.
Right.
But I took on the responsibility of creating the business to have the income, to earn that income, right? As opposed to showing up. And you're so right. Like many of us, we work hard as employees. We give it our all, but we're not responsible for creating that work. We're responsible for doing the work. And when you're an entrepreneur, you're doing both.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're doing both. So thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. I should have worded it as not necessarily harder work. It is more responsibility, but the payoff can be, then I have the freedom to choose what I do with my time.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what I heard you wanting. I think I heard you wanting that, right? Like you want to have that in your life. And when we work for somebody else, we do give some of that up, don't we?
For sure.
Yeah, we really do.
Thank you, Kimberly. That does, I mean, it does bring a different, you know, layer to it than, I mean, that just lifted me. I'm like, yeah, I'm not scared of responsibility. Yeah. I embrace that. Thank you.
And some of us are. I was pretty scared of taking the responsibility. I need to make this much money and I'm giving up a six-figure job. Like, wow, that is scary.
It is. Even if you think you're prepared, and I will tell you guys my story on the other side, because I don't want to interrupt the flow, but this has been amazing to share. I want to, at this point, if you guys want to volunteer, or Kimberly, I can just go and ask people, because I don't want to, but I think it's important to just, this is an area that hits people one way or the other, like, yeah, I'm ready to jump on it, or it could cause them to shrink more. So I really want to bring that out, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Michelle, because you're kind of at that area, that point too, how did that land for you when you heard everything that Kimberly shared?
So yeah, I guess I've lived that, so I understand those differences. I know when I go, one of the shifts I was going through, how does this apply for me, is I found when I was an entrepreneur, I loved the freedom, the ability to take control. I was able to get clients, but I also felt isolated. I was a one person. So not just the extra responsibility of the duties of tax or, you know, all those kind of overhead administrative, but the isolation that went with it. And that's one of the things I've said, whatever, as I ground and passion, you know, how do I bring the community in whatever model that is? I do lean towards, I'd much rather be doing it my own than being in a role. Although sometimes it is nice to have someone else doing the lifting periodically, but yeah, just that's the piece I want to bring back in as I go forward. How do you keep that connection if you're out there doing stuff besides just seeing your clients? How do you keep that community connection, maybe with other professionals and so forth?
Thank you for sharing. So I'm hearing these possibilities that you're inspired and motivated, but you know that they're not problems, but you're looking at ways to get what you need. You're not looking at it as a problem, but how do I bring to me what I need to make this work? I love that. Thank you. Okay. Who hasn't shared? Go for it, Louisa. Unmute. There you are.
Yes. Okay. As far as I was just going to say one thing on what Michelle said, and then I want to tell you something else that has kind of come up to me right now. As far as the connection, since I have been an entrepreneur for 40 years, okay? And again, my parents were, my grandparents were. So to me, it was like, that's a no-brainer. Yes. But to keep connections with other people, I am fortunate. We have associations for, like Primary Eye Care Associates of America. It's all private practices. So it's all entrepreneurs, and we meet, and we have all kinds of events and webinars, and when people have a question about our work, we ask how somebody else has resolved that. So that's keeps us together, our associations. Wow. But now, like I had said, I had never given it a second thought, being an entrepreneur. And then I bring in another doctor, which I told her, okay, you know, this is private practice, and I was grooming her to be an associate and buy into the practice. And after a little bit less than a year, she tells me that it had been a very hard decision, but that she was going to leave because she was going to go into the corporate world. And because she chose that she prefers to make a larger salary, because the corporate world pays a lot. And she didn't think she wanted the responsibilities that come with being an entrepreneur, because obviously we have leases, landlord, we have a lot of other responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So that made me think, like, oh my gosh, here's this girl with much less experience that really chose that caring wasn't that important. She's making a heck of a lot more money than I do, and she has no responsibilities. And that is the first time that in my mind I thought, am I doing the right thing? Am I a salmon, you know, swimming against the current? Because let me tell you, being an entrepreneur and having all the taxes, the employees, all their benefits they want, and negotiating all this stuff, it's a lot. And here she's making a lot more money, and she has nothing to worry. She just goes and works hard, sees the patients that walk in, and leaves. So I don't know.
I'm gonna jump in.
Tell me something, because like I had never doubt that I was very happy as an entrepreneur. Until I'm going like, wow, is it the grass greener on the other side? Am I doing the
right? Yes, you're just being exposed to what we all have been exposed to since we were young. The world has this way that we're supposed to be, right? You're supposed to be a doctor, lawyer, and then chief or whatever. You're supposed to be that. And if you're not that, then you're not, you know, you're not walking the walk, talking the talk. And so you can feel a little strange. What she did for you or did to you was she stopped you from understanding or feeling your passion for it. That's what beliefs can do, that taking on somebody else's belief can do that. It can squash your passion. So if I would invite you to not use that as a filter, but that's external. External information is it's full of chatter. It's full of her own fears. She is projecting her fear onto you. That's her fear. That's not yours, right?
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. So let her have her fear. We'll honor her for the decision that she made. And then I want you to get back into what you said earlier. I heard the passion. Get back into the passion. Get back into the reason that you're doing it. It doesn't have to be her reason. Seriously.
Okay.
Focus on you, the internal. Mm-hmm. Your heart knows. See, yeah. Your song, it's already lifted a little bit. Yeah, we all remember not to take on other people's stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that was the only time, like, I even doubted. Am I then doing the right thing? But I know I love what I do. Mm-hmm. And I love the independence I have. Mm-hmm. And independence, yes, as far as Kimberly says, there's a tremendous amount more responsibilities.
But
seeing it both ways.
And I want your hard work is to just do what I just I told Cindy to do. I want you to focus on why the feelings.
Yeah.
You do the ledger, mm-hmm. This is going to be so much higher, what you just said. People, unfortunately, have this way of projecting their fears on others, and they need company to say, well, I did this, and you should too. Let them be. Let them just do their thing. Their fears are their fears, and this is without even judging, right? But I know that we like to be in lockstep, that we're doing the right thing, that we're doing what other people mm-hmm. are doing. If you are an entrepreneur, you're already a rare cat. You have to own that too. You're not a unicorn, but you're daggone close, okay? So embrace that. And if you're feeling good about that, let her live her life. I can tell you this, and I'll go back because I really want to take over this part, is that I have been motivated by a lot of things. Money has never been it, because I made a ton of money where I was, mm-hmm. as Kimberly did. That's not enough to keep you head in the game, not enough to keep you interested. Someone just raised their hand. I'm sorry, Louise, I didn't mean to step on your tongue, but yeah, thank you for sharing that. But yeah, we can talk more about that, and I'll talk to Kimberly later on about how we, you know, can keep you guys inspired and engaged and have a sense of group. But are there any other emotions? I see a raised hand.
It's me.
Oh, go for it.
Hi. Listening in. I've been preparing for our show this afternoon, so I haven't been open. But this is great. You guys are doing a wonderful job. But I wanted to step in here. Hearing the, is it worth it being an entrepreneur, going back to corporate? And the thing that comes up for me is, if I was in corporate, I have to do it their way.
Hmm.
Very specific goal. And even if it wasn't corporate, if I worked in someone else's practice, which I could go work in somebody else's practice and make tons of money, but I couldn't do it my way.
Oh.
And I have this thing mm-hmm. to the world, and it's my way, not somebody else's way. And when I was in corporate, I felt like my hands were tied, and it took forever to do anything because you had to go through all the ropes. And I just want you to sit with your heart, like, what you do, Louisa, is very different than other optometrists, right? And it's very needed. And you need to be the trailblazer. I see you as the trailblazer in changing the way optometry is practiced and incorporating this nutrition, functional preventative piece to it. So yeah, it's harder. Yeah, at times, it's more responsibility. Yeah, there have been times I sit back and go, okay, I could just dump this whole thing, and I can just, with where I'm at right now, I could just take on 10 private clients a year, make a whole lot more money in my practice, retire to the beach. But it's not aligned with my mission. My mission is to make a huge impact on the way healthcare or disease care is now what we have. Turn it into a true healthcare system where every person is empowered to take charge of their own health through what we teach them. And every practitioner is teaching them what they need to know and knows how to get to the root cause. And I don't let that go. And I love what I do. There's parts of it I hate. I'm going to work on getting rid of those and, you know, taking them off my plate. But you don't get to make that choice. That's the big thing, right? Mm-hmm. And for somebody, it doesn't matter if you align with somebody who's aligned with you. Like, if you want to come work for me, contact me. You know, we're building a huge conglomerate in the future where we'll have lots of health coaches. Not you, Louisa, necessarily, but I mean, like others who just want to help, just want to coach. And if you're in alignment with our mission, that's a great place to do it. But if you're not, mm-hmm. then you have to think about either where you find that you are aligned or do it yourself. And it's, to me, it's worth the effort. It's worth the tireless effort. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that, Dr. Rita Marie. That's very inspirational. I'm so, I thought you were listening in the background, but I wasn't sure, but thank you. I was right
thank
on
you. Time.
Okay. Thank you for sharing, Louisa.
Yeah. Rita Marie, I think, brings up a good point that I wanted to make as well, is that you could find a person or an organization that's in alignment with your passions and be a contractor, not an employee, right? And so a lot of coaches do that, right? They can go in and contract. They still get to be their own unique, special kind of coach, work in an organization that's in alignment, but you're still, you're an entrepreneur, right? You're not going to be is a contractor. You're not the same as an employee. So you get to more independence and more, power over your choices, right? You're not stuck doing it their way. If it's not in alignment with you, you just leave. You're a contracted person, not an employer. So there is that kind of middle ground that you could find as a contractor, being a coach, contracting with organizations that you're in alignment with. That was not what I chose. I chose to be in organizations now, namely Rita Marie's organization. I'm working with her. But that was an afterthought for me. It was first and foremost, I wanted to be really in charge and be an entrepreneur. And frankly, at first, the responsibility did scare me a little bit. And I just had to learn how to get into a different mindset and shift my perspective on things. And that's what Tony's class, I think, is so important. Wow. Learning how to do that.
Yeah. So
I love this interaction, Tony. This is great.
That's the impact in me. I was feeling it. It was bouncing off the screen. Okay. Who else wants to share? And thank you. Gosh, I'm loving how we're just dovetailing and getting more engaged conversation. This is what I live for. Who's next? Anybody else? Because there's shifting happening. I can hear the shift happening. Go, Jill. Go. Yeah.
So I did not come from the corporate world. So I didn't have that experience. Except I did see the power that being under someone else as a school teacher, school teachers don't make very much money. being under that umbrella and requirements and stuff. So anyway, I do like being my own boss, and I like that freedom. I know that I don't understand all that I could do for my business to make it more successful. I know in my head, and what's been bouncing back and forth is, having been a follower of leaders for many years, trainers, you know, I came to see, and I had a coach tell me, at some point you have to stop following and start leading. Yes. And so I've worked with that in my head. And I have this kind of, challenge or struggle inside of me about money. Because I spent a lot of money following people, and whatever I do, I want it to be real pure and authentic. So, and the right price. And there is a big, variance on price. That's, you know, and what people are getting. And so I get kind of stuck in this money thing. And I think that causes me to, it's one thing that causes me to stay small.
Yeah.
because I don't want to be one of those leaders that I just want there to be a good balance mm-hmm. with money and effort in what I'm giving.
Yeah. So for you, and what I'm hearing is a range of emotions. I hear possibilities. I hear fear. I hear hope. I hear despair. I hear all that coming up. That's okay. That's perfectly normal. That's perfectly normal. As you're going to have to go backwards to go forward. You're going to have to get right, that passionate part that we talked about. You're going to have to practice some of those things that we talked about earlier. But this is why I wanted to chat here, because I felt that there was a range of stuff going on here. And I don't want to stir up dirt, but I think we stirred up enough to, this is a very stimulating conversation. And I didn't want you all to leave this safe space feeling like, what? we will provide some information and some guidance for you so that you can maneuver this major area. And it's a mindset, like Kimberly said. It's just really shifting your mindset. Once your heart's in it, then you got to stop the mind from, telling you, no, it's not. That's not real. You can't do it. We'll get you there. Again, I don't want to make this about me. Who else hasn't chatted? Thank you again, Kimberly, for such a stimulating subject or topic.
All just from one slide.
I know, crazy, right? Anybody else want to share? If not, we will move on. I just want to make sure everybody felt a little heard here. I don't feel the emotion I felt before. It seems kind of grounded. We're safe for takeoff. Go for
it. All right. Well, I want to thank Jill for bringing that up. I think it's so important for us to be aware of what's kind of below the surface. What is the resistance about? I love that you have some clarity around what that resistance is, because we have to be aware of it to start working with it.
Yes.
And there's lots of different ways to work with that. I'm not sure if Toni has that as a topic in any of her upcoming trainings, but it's definitely a worthwhile topic that we'll make sure that we get you access on how to get there. Many of you are working in Laura's program. We will definitely, some of you guys are going to be there in November in the next couple of weeks. So I personally had my biggest shift doing that deep work. That was the tool, Laura's work with, and my trauma work also. Those were the tools I used to get out of the way, to allow myself to see the value that I had and to offer the value I had and to accept, receive the money for the value that I have. And so there's ways to do that and get it done. I love that you are recognizing the block.
Absolutely.
That's there. That's good.
And thank you for sharing. You're probably speaking for a lot of people, and people who will view this recording as well will be able to benefit from that share.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on. I'm going to quickly move through some of these points. We were going to talk just a little bit about the general business startup strategies, and I'm just going to cut to the chase of, you got to be legit. Like, I want you to set yourself up staying in the mindset of you are responsible for your business, that making the container for your business to live, because your business is a thing. Okay, it's a thing. It's its own entity. You're responsible for that. It can be small. It could be like Rita Marie big. I don't want that much responsibility. That's not who I am as a practitioner. Thank goodness for people like Rita Marie. That's not me. So my container is going to be very different than Rita Marie's containers or you know, Lynn's container and Tony's container. It's all different, but it is a container. And you want, my recommendation is that you be as legit as possible. Take it seriously. Take your business seriously. It's your responsibility. Do you need to be licensed in your state? Do you need a registration in your state? Do you need insurance? What kind of insurance? Do you need to pay sales tax? Do you have products? I mean, there's a lot of details that are your responsibility to figure out. And just my recommendation is, from day one, do it legit. Don't go under the table and take cash. Don't do it friends and family way so that you can save money. Be a legitimate business person and take advantage of all the tax write-offs you get as a business person, but be a legitimate business person. There are so many free resources that you can find out what is your responsibility as a business owner, what licenses and registrations do you need, what is your tax obligation. It's different and by state, it's different by county and city. There's all different kinds of things that you need to know. And this is, I think, why a lot of people don't want to be an entrepreneur, because there are some details here, but there can be easy. It can be very easy. So my recommendation is to go to the number one, find the resource or free resources like the Small Business Association. Okay. Right there, one website, follow the instructions. I mean, really simple. I believe in systems. I believe in stepped processes. And there's a great resource for you if you just don't know. Many of you are already beyond that. You've got that step done. That's great. Use the free resources and find out what is your responsibility to run a legitimate business based on your business model, right? If you don't know what business model is right for you, then you got to go back to the work that Tony's talking about. What's your passion? What do you like to do? And then start visualizing how you want it to be, okay? So then you can set up an appropriate business plan. Ask people, ask a trusted mentor. Find people that you admire, follow them on social media, listen to their podcasts. Who do you want to be like? Copy a model of a business that you like, that you want to be like them. I want to be like Rita Marie. I want to be as smart as she is. I want to be like Laura. I want to be as talented. Like I wanted, so I follow them. They're my mentors. And modeling is one of the best ways to learn. So modeling somebody that you admire, that you would be like to be like, is really useful. You're going to do it your own way with your own spin on it, but absolutely take their lead and follow how they're doing things. Do your research, but don't get stuck in that analysis paralysis. It can be so overwhelming starting a business. And so I really think it's important to have a big picture and then start taking small steps, lots of deep breaths, always checking in. Is this in alignment? Is this not, am I doing this out of fear? That fear-based nervous system thing is real, but it's not always right. Okay. It might tell you not to do something. That's scary. Don't do it. Don't show up on a video because people might not like you. That's a real fear, but it's not a real truth. So we've got to learn the difference between your nervous system telling you it's scary and actual danger. There are going to be things you have to do that are scary and overwhelming to build a business. In life, there are going to be scary and overwhelming things, right? Not just in business. But being able to just slow down and check in, is this the best step for me to take next? This trusted mentor is saying this is the next step, but I'm scared. Right? It's different than going, oh, that's not in alignment. That's not in alignment with who I am and what I want, or I'm just scared to be seen. So really, you got to slow down. You got to check in and tune in to, is it fear-based resistance or is it really not in alignment with what you want?
Super important distinction. As you were saying that, I was thinking about when I was training people to think independently in a system where they were dependent, that the two things I wanted them to get straight was, are you doing things right or doing the right thing? There is a difference. Okay.
One, I love that tagline, Tony. Say that again.
Are you doing things right or are you doing the right thing? That there is a difference. Mm-hmm. Okay, the right thing comes from a knowing, like even if this is the way things are supposed to be, this is not the right thing. It's not the right way. Doing things right is like by rote because everybody else does it. One is heart-based, one is head-based. There's nothing wrong with the head, but it needs the heart to inspire. There's fear, one's fear-based, one isn't. So I just wanted to share that. Then thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that really is a skill that all humans should learn to cultivate, right? The difference between the fear that I'm sensing in my nervous system, because that's its job. The job of your nervous system is to alert you of possible danger, right? That's a real sensation, but it's not
an actual physical threat, but the body is interpreting it as a physical threat, right? You have a nervous system that's going to try and keep you safe, and you have an inner wise being that lives in that authentic place that knows what it wants. How do you differentiate between the two voices? Like, that is a skill that you must have to be able to, I believe, to be a happy person in general, but also to create a business that you love. It really be able to follow your authentic self and move through the resistance and the discomfort when your nervous system is telling you this is scary. Okay. The next part of the presentation is really just talking more about systems. Mm. I'm a big fan of systems so that you can not waste a lot of your time on trying to reinvent the wheel that somebody else has already invented. It is important to do it in your own way, but you got to pick and choose. Okay. There are things that you just have to have, that you have to be responsible for if you're going to run a successful business. And there are systems in place that are free that you can take advantage of. And there are systems that are paid that aren't very much money. There are systems that are really expensive. And you can get that analysis paralysis by like, oh my gosh, there's so many options, there's so many choices, and feel overwhelmed and not be able to do anything because you're paralyzed because there's so much. So I don't want you to get lost in all of the hype. Like, what are the basic things you have to have in place to run your business successfully, right? There are a few things. I'm just going to go quickly through this because many of you are, I'm sure, already doing this, but just to remind you, system you have to have in place is document management. Be a legitimate business, track your income, track your leads, track your conversion rate, track everything. You can't grow and change what you're not measuring. You can't manage what you're not measuring. You have to measure everything. So if you don't have a legitimate system that's tracking everything, then you can't be a legitimate business and you're not going to know what's really happening in your business. You can't manage it. So you have to have some tracking tools. You have to have forms. You have to have intake forms, disclosure forms, a place to store them. You have to, if you're working with clients on a health basis, you might need to have HIPAA compliant systems in place, mm-hmm. To manage their lab work and to manage their forms. You have to have accounting systems. You have to have a place to take notes for your session. What did you tell that client to do? Instructions for the clients. You have to have a system in place to keep all of your business documents and all of your client documents. And you need a legitimate system to be a legitimate business. And this is an absolute must have. You have to have a system. Now you can use G Suite in Google and have spreadsheets and documents there. You can fax and scan documents, but you have to store them somehow. You have to have a system in place. So there are systems that you can use for free. Google is practically free. I spend $6 a month on my G Suite account, right? There's ways to do that. But I also have another system that I use. It's $39 a month. It has all of my digital intake forms. It has a client portal. It's a way to take money. It's a way for clients to interact with me. I can schedule through that system. It tracks all of my accounting. It does everything for $39 a month. So to me, that $39 a month is really reasonable to take that off my hands. I could do it for free, but I'd have a lot more steps. And I'd have a lot more pieces that I have to be responsible for. So I don't want money to be in the way from people starting their business, but I also want you to think of what's going to be the most efficient use of your time as a business owner. Sometimes, and $40 a month in the beginning was a lot for me,
yeah.
Right? But it freed me up to spend more time with clients and earn more money. So thinking about, you must have a document management system. Don't make a decision right away. Look at all your options and think about, where do I want to be in the future? In the beginning, I could manage without any systems because I had only a few clients. But my vision was to have so many clients sessions per week. And so I looked and I took the time to research what system is going to be there for me as I grow. Now, some of them are free in the beginning, and then you can upgrade to paid services based on the level of your client base. So I highly recommend that you look into those. And then
work with a coach, reach out, ask your colleagues, what are they using? What systems are they using? There's so many out there. But again, you can be stuck in, I have so many choices, I don't know what to do. So ask for help. Tony, do you have some comments?
Yeah, I do want to interject here. And I love how you keep saying that, you know, don't let money get in the way, because there are a lot of free things, and start where you can. So I had a friend that used SCORE initially. They got a really, really, really good coach, because that's what she needed, you know, just the basics and then, you know, walk her through. But as you grow and develop and, you know, your vision gets bigger and all that, then you'll have to have the appropriate coach to get you through that. So it's like a marriage. So, you know, choose wisely, just saying. Thank you.
Another few must-haves that I think are really, really, really important is you have to have a system in place where you're scheduling clients. That seems like a no-brainer, like, duh, you need a telephone or an email address so they can contact you. And for very few dollars per month, you can actually have another line. So you're separating your personal phone from your business phone. Start from day one with being clear on your boundaries. What are your boundaries with your business and your personal life? And create some boundaries for yourself around that so you can grow into that. For $5 a month, I had a separate line that rang right to my phone, but I could tell that it was a business client. So I could shift gears when I knew my business phone was ringing versus my personal phone. So that did two things for me. It gave me an easy way to track. It gave clients an easy way to find me, and I could separate my business but not have to manage two phones. You can find free scheduling tools out there, and you can upgrade as your business grows. But I think a scheduling tool for me personally has been very useful, because clients that might be a little uncomfortable or nervous actually calling me or talking to me can make an appointment online without interacting with me. So I just like to invite you to think about a scheduling system where they can click on your link, get to your scheduler, and schedule a free consultation or an actual consultation. I think many of my clients contacted me that way first because it was easy. It was an easy way for them to start to interact with me. So Calendly is what I used, free in the beginning. I upgraded. Now I pay for it because I can afford it and it's working for me. But you have to have a way for your clients to find you, right? You have to have phone, email, something, or, you know, if you're a brick and mortar place, you have to have a sign out front. Here I am. I have a system in place for clients to show up. And you have to have a system to take money, right? And again, you could do the friends and family PayPal. I don't recommend that you do that. I recommend that you act like a legitimate business and set up a business account. Have a merchant account. If you need to, if you are going to take credit cards, then you need to have a merchant account, and you need to have an accounting system, and you need to be able to, your client needs to be easy. It needs to be easy for your clients to be able to pay for your services, right? And so I have a system in place where it's all one way that I, one merchant account. It's in my client portal. Clients can put their credit card information in. I can store it. I can take monthly payments without having to go through my books. It just is all automated. $39 a month. To me, that is totally worth it, because my brilliance is not accounting. I don't have the ability like Tony has to be really good at that piece. So I know I have to have it. I know it's not a want to have, it's a need to have, to manage my accounting well and have a place for clients to pay me. So I pay for some services to help me with that. Right? There are some things I'm really good at that I don't have to pay an outside expert, but this one, no, I am paying to have support with my taxes, my accounting. I pay for systems to track because that's worth it to me.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Any comments on that, Tony?
No, I think you nailed it. I couldn't add anything more to that, that systems are important. If you really want to have some freedom in your business, if you want to love a business that loves you back, that's what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
A few more things. These days you have to have an email system, not just an email address, because you need to be able to set up campaigns, newsletters. If you're going to have a client attraction system in place, if you're working with clients, you have to have clients to stay in business. You're going to have a system in place where you can regularly get new clients so that you're always having a stream of new clients coming in. So without an email system, you're going to really suffer. So again, same thing, free options. You can upgrade as you build your business, but you absolutely need an email system, not just an email address. So like MailChimp is free in the beginning, but there's some really fancy things out there that you can get that do a lot of other things. For instance, I use ConvertKit. It's really great because it's a blog platform. It has landing pages available. I don't need to pay for a website if I don't want to. It gives me a lead source. I can do my opt-ins on there. I mean, it does so many things. But start with the free. But keep in mind what you want it to do based on your business model, what you want it to do in the big picture. Start with what you can in the beginning and be willing to pay for things that you absolutely don't do yourself or can't do yourself. Okay. You need a system to deliver your content also. So that could be something like your newsletters. This email system could do that. It could be blogs. It could be social media. It could be speaking in front of actual people. That's not happening much these days, but that is a definite reliable way of connecting with people and getting leads. There's webinars, there's podcasts, there's online courses. There's a lot of things, but you have to decide, how am I going to deliver content to my clients? And how am I going to do that? So that's part of your business plan, right? So again, the nice to haves versus needs to have, it's up to you really to decide what you need help with. There are absolute need to have, right? We just went through some of those. Mm-hmm. If you're totally overwhelmed and it's not your brilliance, it's worth the money to hire a professional to help you with that piece. It's worth the money to spend a few more dollars on a system that you can follow, because that frees up your energy to be with your clients, right? It frees up your energy to do your brilliance, right? And an absolute must have, though, not a nice to have, a must have, is that mindset of your business is a thing and you are responsible for your business. You are the business owner and you're making decisions not on how much money I need to make and I'm desperate for money, so I'm just going to do this and I'm going to not spend money on this. Have to put that aside and go, what is the best decision for my business? And that includes, Tony and I were talking yesterday about, that includes saying no to a potential paying client if that person is not a fit for you, right? If a client wants to pay you, but you are like, I do not want to work with this person, but I really need the money, right? That mindset is going to sabotage you. So really, and that's a boundary. So this is another topic, but we mentioned it briefly earlier. Boundary with your time, boundary with the kind of clients you want to work with, boundary with what you can do and what you need to have some help with. Like, start that right from the very beginning, because it's hard to change later, right? You're setting the tones with your clients and with yourself and with your business that this is the parameters I work in. And if you change it later, your clients are going to be really upset. So it's better to start with the intentions and the parameters for yourself. What are the nice to have things? What are the need to have things? And stick to your guns. Even if you're scared, I don't have enough money, how is this going to happen? If you stay true and authentic to your big picture vision and don't sacrifice your authentic needs, it shows up. Things work out.
Absolutely.
All right. So must haves, need to have.
I think Angelica has a question. I'm sorry.
May I ask a question? How do, this is speaking for the whole group, how do people find managing their own website? Do you have someone else do it or do you do it yourself? Because that was something I always struggled with in the past when I had like my chef business, is like that technical stuff I don't want to be wasting time on.
My quick answer there, and that's a fantastic question, and I'm sure a lot of us I worried about that too. My quick answer is, what do you want your website to do for you? Right? What is it for? What is it doing for you? I spent a lot of money on a course to learn how to create landing pages and do paid ads. So I hired somebody to create my website, set it up so that I could learn from them on how to manage it myself. I currently manage it myself because I know how to do what I want it to do. I would take the money and spend it on an expert if I felt like it needed to do something that I couldn't manage. So you have to be clear on what is your website for. And then if you can learn and manage it yourself and it doesn't totally freak you out and overwhelm you, then yeah, take it on. But you, what is it for?
That's a good question.
My first question.
That's a good question.
Yeah. What else do you have to offer, well, Tony? Or another question, Angelica?
Oh, it was just a follow-up question. So yeah, the answer is minimal. I don't want it to do a lot. I'd rather just focus on making social media. And then the website really just a place for them to see my, or to see my calendar and, mm-hmm. and book things and pay, I suppose.
And yeah. So you're very clear, and that's what I'm, mm-hmm. I'm hearing. She asked you a really a good question, and I hear you're clear on what that website can or cannot do for you. So you wouldn't want to spend a lot of time and effort there.
You probably don't need to spend any money on someone managing that for you if there's not anything it's going to do other than to be a place where people can get your information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to add a pop-up screen with an opt-in and you didn't know how to do that, you could hire a temporary assistant, or, you know, there's a lot of free resources out there. I have WordPress and I can go watch training videos on WordPress and figure out most of it myself.
Absolutely. So, but the important piece here is what you said earlier. Got to know what it's going to do for you to determine if you want to invest the energy, the resources and all that into it. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
And you don't need a website to get going. I mean, you don't. But if you have one and you're going to use it to create leads, it's going to be a different story than if you're just using it for people to go kind of see what you do. Right. So I hope that answered your question. Was that enough? Answered. Good. Okay.
So let's all take a deep breath here. It's a lot. It feels as if there's some full brains here. So let's I saw some shallow breathing, like really. So when you breathe in, just breathe in all the possibilities, right? You don't have to do anything now. It's like a buffet. Eat one thing, you eat five things, you eat nothing. Buffet will always be there for you. Okay. Left brain's full. I could feel it. I could feel the left brain's like, more, more, no, no, no more. The right brain was shutting down, right? See, Angelica, I can see that, yeah. Because we're thinking now. And that's okay, because this is the part of it that requires the left brain to be involved, but not at the sacrifice of the right brain shutting down. So we're just going to breathe through this. We're going to do a little higher level thinking now, talking. Because if you need resources and all that, and that's what I'm sensing. Yeah, I'll work something out with Kimberly. We'll figure it out. I just want you to hear what she's saying to you about feeling things through. The tools, and I think we have a note there about the tools. It's not about the tools you use, but how you use the tools. You have to know who you are in your business and how you want to show up. The tools will be there.
Yeah.
All right. How's everybody feeling? Full? Okay.
All right. Just a few things left. I'm kind of going to condense some of this down is the last thing that we wanted to talk about briefly was client attraction, mm-hmm. and turning those client prospects into actual paying clients. Mm-hmm. And this is a really big deal, because if you don't have potential clients, you can't turn them into paying clients and you can't stay in business. My advice for you, if you're just getting started, is first and foremost, as Tony was talking about, that mission, right? Your passion, your mission. The first step in attracting clients is knowing who you are, you know, knowing what Tony says, the mission, what I do, what I stand for, why I do it, clarity on your ideal client and your niche. Okay. Because as you put yourself out there, and you have to put yourself out there or they're not going to be able to find you. You have to become the expert. You have to be willing to be seen, and you have to know who you're talking to, what problem you solve. Okay. So Dr. Rita Marie has tons, most of you are in NEPT, tons of resources that you can look at there. I just want you to use this for your mindset right now. Client attraction system, a way you bring people in consistently to your business, is a must have. We cannot be in business if we don't have people to help, right? So you got to be clear on your niche. Now, that being said, I want you to know it took me a while to really be totally clear, and that's okay. Just start working with people. work with clients, offer your service. And as you start to work with people, your brilliance will shine. It will come to the surface. Your clarity will show up, right? It will show up. Set your intention that, and be curious about it. Allow yourself to be curious and play, as Tony says, right? We want to play and have fun with this. And I promise that your niche and your ideal client will be very clear to you if you step in and take action and just start seeing people, just start working with people. Your mission and your message and your method are what I talk about. Okay. If you start on your mission to help people, even if it's just that simple, I want to help people, it will start getting clearer and clearer. Your message will be clear. Your method will be clear. Show up and take action. What I love about Valerie's story, Valerie, who shared her story with us earlier, was she kept moving forward. She wasn't just sitting on the couch. She was volunteering. Oh, I don't know what to do, but I like this. So sure, I'll spend more time doing that. She was taking action. You are not going to get clarity on your niche. You're not going to get clarity on your ideal client if you're not out there trying and working. Work with people. It's okay. Even work for free. I did a lot of free stuff in the beginning. I did a lot of very low paying stuff in the beginning so that I could get practice, so that I could build my confidence and get clear on what do I want to do? What is my method? What is my message? What is my mission? Became clear because I got out there and started working it. Not because I was studying, not because I was reading, not because I was curious about what other people are doing. I had to jump in and do it myself. And that's what brought me the clarity.
I love that. I love that. I can see, like, you guys are, you're moving from that right brain back over to the left brain. When you are playing, discovering, and exploring, the litmus test is the feeling. Mm-hmm. Not the action, but the feeling that comes from the action that will let you know if you're in alignment or not. That's what you always want to chase. Mm-hmm. Right? Not the thing, but the feeling that's generated from the thing.
Thank you. I'm going to end on really this one thing, because I think it's the most important thing out of all the other slides I have with things is and many people aren't going to want to hear this, like, for you to grow your business, the best way to start to build your practice and grow your business is referrals. Okay. It's any business, right? How do you do that? Well, you actually have to start interacting with people and create relationships. Now, I know that there are some people that are doing well with doing ads on Facebook and on Instagram and things, but you know what? They're showing up constantly. They're putting themselves out there. They're exposing their authentic self and they're asking people to work with them. You have to show up. You have to create relationships and you have to ask people to work with you. Okay. You have to ask for your business. You can't just talk about a topic and then hope they're going to come ask you to work with them. You need to ask people for their business. You ask for your current clients for referrals. You ask your friends and family for referrals. Everyone you come into contact with is either a potential client or knows a potential client. If you don't own the fact that you're responsible for bringing in clients and you don't own the fact that you are brilliant at what you do and you don't have confidence to share with the world what you do, if you don't show up and explain what you do and then actually ask people to work with you, you are not going to be a successful business person. So organic marketing is what I call it. How are you connecting with other real life people and telling them about what you do and offering your service? I don't have to do very much of that now anymore. I did it a lot in the beginning. I reached out to people and doctors in my community. I now have two great doctors that are a referral source for me, right? I don't spend time on that as much anymore. I help make sure my clients are getting a good result. I ask them to tell their friends and family about me, right? I tell people about what I do. It took me a while though to have the confidence to do that. Okay. I am now much more confident in my ability to claim my expertise. Okay. When you have relationship with people, they'll start to trust you. When you own your expertise and you can build your credibility by feeling confident in your own abilities and you build credibility. So we want to work with people. Most of us are working with people's health. That's a really intimate thing, like a really intimate thing. And so you have to build trust and you have to build credibility to get referrals. But let me tell you, spend your time on talking about what you do, asking real life people if you can help them. Because if you do that now, in 3 or 4 years from now, you don't have to work as hard, but you're building your reputation, you're building your credibility, you're building your trust with actual real life people, right? It used to be we went to networking events. We would go speak at the local grocery store. It's still an important part of marketing. It's still an important part of building your business. I know some people can do great with social media. That's fantastic. But the truth is, you are working in the health field. People need to feel safe with you. They will trust you better if you build an actual relationship with them. And for me, that's been by actually showing up in person, picking up the phone and calling practitioners in my area that might be a fit to work with, telling my clients what I do, telling people that I just meet what I do. And you can learn how to do this. I'm just planting the seed that the organic marketing is a really probably the most important place to start if you're building a practice, talking to people about what you do. But you got to own your expertise, right? You really need to be the expert. Okay. You got to own it. Now, it only takes knowing a little bit more than your client to be the expert. So you already are the expert in something. Okay. It only takes a few presentations. It only takes a few blogs. It only takes a few clients. It takes a lot of passion and a lot of awareness about yourself and a lot of courage, but it doesn't take you having a PhD to go out there and be an expert. Okay. There's a quote, and I don't know who said this, so I can't take credit for it, but expert status is both earned and taken. I want you to claim your expertise. Okay. Claim your expertise. You have earned by learning. You're excited and passionate about, I mean, all of you are NEPT health, interested in health, interested in things similar, right? You've learned enough. Claim it. Claim what you know. Assert yourself as an expert and build your credibility by continuing to show up and build relationships with them. Okay, so you might do that online. My recommendation, if you're a brand new practitioner, is to meet people in person every time it's possible. Call local physicians and work with them. Send actual mail to doctor's offices and to other practitioners that you might want to work with. I think Tony does a great job about talking about collaboration, right? Be in person with people in the beginning, and then you can grow into using social media and using technology to leverage those tools. But you will gain more confidence. You will be more confident in your own knowledge and expertise by showing up, by claiming your expertise, by presenting the information that you know in front of real live people. So again, expert status is both earned. You're earning it by learning about it. You're passionate about it, and you got to take it. Okay. You also have to actually take it. So you want to, again, create a repeatable system where you're attracting your clients. My suggestion, if you're brand new, start with showing up in real life.
Yes.
Try and get some speaking gigs. We can talk later about how you can do that. Again, it's planting the seed for you that you need to show up in person. You need to put yourself out there as the expert. You don't need to know much more than the client. You are the expert. Claim it. Nurture people. It's going to take 5 to 10 interactions before a client's actually going to pay you for something. So be prepared for that and have the ability to nurture them, have a sequence in place that's automated if possible. That's why you want like an automated drip email system. You want some of the technology, utilize some of that so that you can nurture them. That's another call. But again, just know you're not doing anything wrong if it takes 5 to 10 interactions before they're going to pay you. That's normal. It's okay. It's normal. So be prepared to seed the client. We talk about nurturing and seeding. Nurture them, building the relationship, and seeding the idea that you can help solve their problem. Okay. Again, that's another whole nother topic. And giving free content is part of that process of the continual client attraction system. So I feel like I don't need to talk about a client attraction system anymore because I feel like it's time to end. And also we can do another whole nother training on that at some point. And we have resources. If you're an NEPT, there's resources there that give you systems. There's cheap or free systems out there, but you got to have a system of attracting clients or you're not going to stay in business. Oh, one more thing I'd like to say, and then I'm going to shut up. And that is, that it really is a numbers game. Okay. You have to actually ask people to pay you. You have to make offers, tell them what services you offer, and then you ask them to actually pay you for those services. And it's a numbers game. The more offers you make, the more people are going to say yes, and the more money you're going to make. And you cannot grow a business if you're not making offers. You have to ask people to interact with you and pay you over and over and over and over again. So if that is totally outside of your comfort zone, be a contractor or be an employee. And that's okay. That is okay. Louisa hires people to work for her because they prefer to be an employee. She prefers to be the entrepreneur. I am choosing to be the entrepreneur. So I have had to learn to get comfortable asking for money, but I did. And that's another class, but we can teach you how to do that too.
I'm making notes.
So I guess what I want to say in ending is all of this was just very big picture, right? Very big picture. Rita Marie has a lot of resources in the NEPT program you have access to. We're going to use those tools. We're going to come in. I know I'm personally very committed to creating some of this training for the FNC coaches or ERC coaches within the NEPT program. That's all really cool. Bottom line, though, is have a bigger understanding of what it's going to take. And then is it resonating with you as something that's truly what you want to do? There's going to be things you don't like doing in your business. Right? There are going to be things that kind of suck, but I'm so excited about my mission and my message. And I'm so in love with what I do that it's okay with me to do the scary things and the uncomfortable things. I've learned to be in tune with that. You have to learn to be in tune with what's authentically right for you. If these steps are just scary, no problem. We can help you have the courage to get over it and teach you the systems to get in place. If it's just not in alignment with you, that's okay too. Don't waste your time then. Right?
Wow.
So, okay. I feel like I just said too much. No. So I apologize if it was way too much.
Okay. So first of all, the information was amazing. I felt your passion. I heard your passion. It was so much good information. I wouldn't pull back on anything. What I would like you all to pull back on is stuffing it in your left brain. The information is there. It'll be there when you need it. You've got to keep your right brain, the creative brain, open. You've got to stay like open-minded and say, I know it's going to be there. But I'm telling you, I can smell the smoke. All of you are like, how can I use this? Okay, what should I do? Oh, what was that? What was that calendar she said? Anybody not doing that? Yeah. I thought so. I'm going to invite you to recognize that Kimberly's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. The resources that Rita Marie has not going anywhere. The tools aren't important. It's how you use the tools. You can't determine how to use the tools until you determine who you are and how you want to show up. Don't put the cart before the horse. All right. This information is supposed to be inspirational. So if it's not inspiring you, it's because you're stuffing it here. I want it here on the right side, here, and feel it out. Okay. Take a deep breath. Lots of great information. I want to thank Kimberly so much for what she's done for us today. She has been relentless in telling you, first of all, it is a business, and I agree with that. All the other things she's saying, I agree with it. If you know you can't do that, and I think she put it in your face, you have to know yourself. Know thyself and act accordingly. First, you got to know thyself. Okay. We have one more small thing to go over. I'm just going to breeze through it because I feel like you guys are full. We're getting back into our right brain, hopefully. We're going to scale back a little bit. So we're still talking about creating a business you love, but it's a creating a business you love model, right? So we talked a little bit about what model do you want. There are many ways that we can do that. But what I like to work with my clients is how can we decrease overwhelm and overwork for a business you love that loves you back? Because really, that's really what it's all about, increasing productivity and happiness, but decreasing overwhelm. So there are three areas that I have used that have worked effectively with me, and I'm not saying they're the only three, and then, you know, they're not even the top three. They just work for me that I want to share with you. We touched on it earlier, collaboration. I am the collaboration queen. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I know my brains is doing this, talking, right? Inspiring people. I can move them in. I can move them through the system. You got to bring them in. So I collaborate with a lot of people, and I'll talk more about that. Energy management. We'll talk a little bit more about that. That's a way to make sure you decrease overwhelm and overwork and achieving more with the time you have. I'm going to go quickly through collaboration. So it's challenging as a solopreneur. We talked about that. So one of the ways I'm able to express my brilliance without feeling overwhelmed is I'll collaborate with anybody who shares my vision in alignment with my vision and where we are different enough in what we bring to the table, but similar in value. It's a marriage. I collaborate with doctors. I collaborate with local businesses here that have huge audiences. I've decreased my actual workload by 50%, but increased my income way more than that through collaboration only. I also think like the TV spots, that's collaboration. They get a lot of people to look at their, I mean, I couldn't, if I had to pay for that kind of marketing, yeah. So, you know, I'm getting ready to do blogs for a person where I can just pretty much, it's like, you can do whatever you want because I don't have that skill set. So, I mean, just think about ways that you can work cooperatively with people in collaboration. This is a collaboration, what I'm doing with Kimberly, right? It felt right. We were able to, you know, we had the same passion, the same values, but we bring different skill sets to the table. So here's some tips. If you're going to do collaborations and you don't want to do it alone, they work better if you have similar values. I'm just saying it's like a marriage, easy to get in, hard to get out. So you want different strengths, but you want to make sure that they ideally create abundance. You don't want to just, you know, you don't want to create an opportunity where you're just like flatlining. They don't have to be big to be impactful. They don't. I collaborate often with my peers because number one, I enjoy working with them. But number two, it broadens my perspective. I get to hear my potential audience and it helps me to figure out what I need to offer and be clear on expectations. So we'll talk more about that if people want to get into collaborations, but I am telling you, I love them. Wouldn't change a thing as a solopreneur, saved my life. Energy management. We touched on that earlier. One of the things that Kimberly talked about and I agree with is boundaries, healthy boundaries. We did talk about clients that will just want to work with you and it just doesn't feel right. No is an acceptable response. So if you're not comfortable with the word no, try this. I'd love to, but I'm already committed. Try this. I can offer you an alternative person to work with. If you're not comfortable with no, I got 10 of them lined up. If people don't want to hear no because they're super sensitive. So you may have clients that say, I'm only available on weekends. And they used to say, oh, okay, sure, I'll give up my weekends. Nope. My office hours are Monday, Thursday, and Friday from X time to X time. I hope that you can create time in your schedule to work with me during those hours. It's okay. They will do it or they won't. But the idea is that you preserve your energy. You don't want to get into that habit of overwork, overgiving. The other thing that it's more important to me than establishing boundaries with your client, but establishing boundaries with yourself. You have to do self-care. Some of you already know this about me. I walk each and every day through nature. That is how I ground. That is how I stay connected to who I am. That's how I stay giving. I'm not giving that up for anybody and for nothing, because it makes me more productive. So I walk every day. I make sure that I have dance breaks. I get up, I move around, I jump on a rebounder. I chat on the phone with a friend that makes me giggle like crazy. Those are all things that give you energy. They're not depleting your energy so that you can give to other people. And then the other thing, super important to me, hopefully you agree, rituals. If you had rituals before you started your business, you can't give them up as soon as you get busy. So what I mean by a ritual, a habit, these are these things that fill you up. If one of your rituals is getting up in the morning and meditating, you've got to keep doing that. That's what makes you you. That's one of your values. You can't give up your values for your business. Stick to your rituals. And those are the three. There are many more, but those are the top three that I, did I do all of them? Energy. Oh yeah, achieve more with the time you have. All right. I'm not going to get into all the tools and all that. I'm just going to do a high level discussion about this. You got to plan. Fail to plan to fail. You can't just go through and say, okay, even if you just do a checklist, you've got to know your weekly and daily tasks in order to schedule your life and your business accordingly. Work first on what matters most. It can be tempting to do it the other way around, but work first on what matters most. There are time sucks in our business, and it's unavoidable. Social media, because that's how I kind of engage with my tribe. But I set up a timer because it's like a black hole. You get in there, you do your post, and then you're like, oh, that was an interesting post. I have set a timer. It has saved my life. It's a black hole. So when you do your posting, set your timer, keep it moving. Be kind to yourself, right? If you're stressed out, you're not going to work efficiently. You're just not. And the kindness comes from how you think about what you're doing. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I should be, because you should all over yourself. Should. I said should. You got to stop doing that. So be more reasonable with yourself and your expectations of yourself. Be kind to yourself. And I think, again, I kind of went through that pretty quickly, but I didn't want to. I felt like your left brains were full, and I want to get us back into the heart. So I do want to take, we have a few minutes left, and I do want to ask you, if you could tell me briefly, one takeaway, something that you took from this that was like, just gave you like, oh, I really want to do this. And even if it's that, oh, I'm really scared, that's still movement that you felt made it worthwhile to attend this workshop. So, Cindy, I know I picked on you.
Well, it's been great, Tony and Kimberly, so thank you very much. I think just reconnecting with my mission. Lately, my full-time job has been getting in the way of what my intentions were when I first joined NEPT. So I think, just reconnecting with that and really articulating it, because I've done it in the past, and then, you know, I get wrapped up in the day-to-day stuff, and I think reconnecting to that and really working on my content. Dr. Rita Marie had helped me a couple of weeks ago, sort of getting more focused. So I'm spending time on that instead of some of the other things that I've been doing. So
nice. Thank you so much for sharing. That's great. Lynn, go for it.
It's a business, not a hobby.
Yes.
I needed that reminder. Thank you.
Very nice. Valerie.
The quote that stands out to me is all this scary to you or not in alignment? That's kind of where I am right now.
Nice. Nice. Pondering. Jill.
I love this. This has been really good. And the idea that your business is a thing and that I need to, the planning and making a checklist, that's a good place to start for me with my thing business.
I love it. You can give it a name. It's a living, breathing entity. Yes. Michelle, thank you, Jill. Were you done? I'm sorry. I stepped
on. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Michelle.
Energy management, just going back to the self-care and the rituals.
All right. Nice. Louisa.
Well,
I like it. Do what you love, not what you think you're supposed to do. And that got me thinking on my mission statement, because I do have a mission statement in the in our website, but I think I'll be revising it.
Oh, love that. Awesome. Okay. Movement happening all around here. Angelica. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I found it really useful just to, you know, the tips for preventing overwhelm. And I like what you say about how the tools are always there for you. You don't need to have them all at once. It's, you know, that's really helpful for me.
Good. Thank you. Last but not least, Amy.
Just really realizing that while I do have a mission statement in place, I need to inject a little more passion into it. So I'm going to take some time to refine it and maybe elaborate on it a bit. And then secondly, just hearing, like, I know and I've known I need to work on my own business. And just hearing it again, the way that Kim explained it was very helpful, because it kind of gave me that light bulb moment or kick in the pants moment that, yeah, I've got to like step up and do a little more to make it look like a business rather than me falling into a, you know, an employee mindset and getting comfortable. So.
Nice. Nice. Lynn, you raised your hand. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
So listening to everybody, another thing that popped up for me is to look at the things I allow to get in the way to see if they're an excuse or a distraction and what's behind that. Mm-hmm. And then I had a question for Kimberly. I know you referenced often slides, and I don't know if it was just me. I didn't see any. So if you had slides, are we going to get copies of those?
No, they're just bullet points for me to remember what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So there was nothing on there other than what I said out loud. And
okay.
You know, it wouldn't be.
Making sure I.
Yeah. That's what my slides were too. They're just bullet points. Cause really, the information I wanted you to feel right now, there are going to be other workshops. They're going to be hands-on where we have to really engage the left brain, and information is what you're going to need. But what we really wanted to do was not have everybody get distracted by, stuff, like looking at the PowerPoint instead of listening, which you all have done such a great job. So I knew it was a good call for us. But if you continue to work with us, and I hope you will, in our next iteration of this, there'll be plenty of information. So this is just to raise awareness. Did I miss anybody in the sharing? No, I think I got everybody. I just can't tell you, my heart is so full. This is what I live for. This is my passion. I love to see movement. I love to see people feeling themselves being successful and visualizing themselves being successful. You're already there. You just have to believe it. I want to invite you to come back next week. It's going to be amazing, where we're going to be talking about coaching skills. Now, you can use coaching skills not just as a coach. Use coaching skills if you're a mother, if you're a boss, you still need those coaching skills. So I invite you to come, and I'll share some of my secrets of how I've been able to create award-winning teams and engage teams that are fully engaged and productive. I do want to, as a reminder, if you received my email, I think most of you did, there was a little bit of homework that you had to do. There was a document, a Google form, to get at me so I can know where you are and how we can help you better. It's a basic Google form, check, 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 but it'll help me for next week to know where your coaching skills are so I can tailor the discussion accordingly or provide you with information. So please make sure you turn those in by October 23rd. Complete those. If you have any problems, let me know. Don't overthink it. I don't want to hear what you think I should see. I want to read where you are right now. I'll meet you where you are. Okay. I have nothing else to add except, thank you so much for investing time. 3 hours is a lot, but investing time in yourselves, it has already paid off based on the energy and the language that I've heard. Just go forth and now just sit on it. Don't do anything with it. Be with it. Just be with it. Okay. And Kimberly, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, I love that. Just be with it. Thank you all for patiently listening to everything that I was excited to share with you. Thanks, Tony, for letting me share some ideas with you. And I'm glad to hear that I remember Shine Tom O'Brien says, just one thing. When you go to these long events where you're learning all this much, if you could just take that one thing, that's awesome.
Yes.
So I love that you all were really clear that there was something that really spoke to you or resonated with you. And that's, don't worry about all the other stuff.
We'll end with that. Nice ending. Adios, people. And I'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Bring your favorite beverage and bring your right brain with you. Okay. All right. Bye.